morning, let's turn to Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this morning. Thank you that we could come before you, and we invite your presence here, and we invite you to come and speak to our hearts today. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, on Monday, my wife and I, we were in Singapore, and we were coming back to Hong Kong. And this was kind of shortly after we heard about the second Malaysian Air flight that was shot down. And we were, I guess, a little bit anxious. And crazy side story is actually one of the SP Singapore members, her neighbor, who she was very close to, was one of the, were three other passengers that were on the flight. And so it was a very difficult time for them. Anyway, so that was on our minds when we were flying out of Singapore and coming back to Hong Kong. And all of a sudden, the plane got into this turbulence. And, you know, I've flown many times, but this turbulence was nothing like anything I've experienced before. You know, it was the worst turbulence that I've ever been in my whole life. And I had all these things going through my mind. We had just received our food, and you know, Cathay Pacific, they give you a little ice cream. So the little ice cream was on my tray, and the plane like shook so badly, so ice cream flew to the underneath, across the aisle, underneath the seat of this other passenger, and I had apple juice in my hand, and it was spilling everywhere. I think the flight attendant actually fell because the plane was shaking so bad. And so I really started to think, what if this is it? You know, what if this is it? And two thoughts came into my head. The first thought was, I am glad that my wife is with me. You know, that we don't have to, not one of us will pass away. And you know how, you know, I mean, it will be so sad. So I was glad that Mon was with me, that we could look at each other's eyes if we needed to, right? And do this thing together. And the second thought was, okay, like, how should I, like, tell people about Christ? Like, if we're going to die, then I should really tell some people about Jesus. So these thoughts are going through my head. But praise God, it was just the turbulence, right? And for me, it was the worst. But I think Mon and some other people have actually been in a worse turbulence when they were flying. So we came back, and on Tuesday, I was in the office, and I was telling the office about how crazy this flight was and how I thought I was going to die. And Kenny, he wanted to put my mind at ease. So he told me that airplanes are actually designed. So if you don't know, let me put your mind at ease too. That airplanes are actually designed to go through like crazy amount of turbulence. And basically he was saying that unless there is a malfunction on the plane, it's not going to crash because of turbulence, because they go through some like rocky, you know, weather, that kind of thing, the plane's not going to crash. So don't be anxious about anything. But I mean, but I don't know how Kenny knows this, so if you want to confirm this, you should probably talk to Larry. But anyway, so that's kind of what Paul is doing here. He wants to put the minds of the Philippian church at ease. He's telling them, don't be anxious about anything, but basically trust God, you know. Know that God is for you, that he is with you. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. Not being anxious about stuff. I think our minds can run so wild sometimes. And sometimes, depending on our personality, some of us are more prone to worrying than others. But all of us have times when we really worry and we start thinking negatively and our minds can kind of get the best of us, you know? So I kind of want to share on that a little bit today. So Paul starts off in verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And then he says, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men." So I was thinking about this, and I think why Paul talks about rejoicing and the gentle spirit, and then he links that to anxiety. And I think it's true. When we have anxiety and we are anxious and worrying in our hearts, it's difficult to have joy. It's difficult to rejoice, and it's difficult to treat people with a gentle spirit because we're so focused on what's going on. We're so focused on our worry and our anxiety. Rejoicing and gentle spirit, I think they are fruits of not being anxious, and anxiety kills the joy of ministry and the joy of celebrations. I remember when it was my wedding and Matt, my brother, was doing the best man's speech. He says he couldn't really eat anything until it was after the best man's speech because he was so anxious, right? That was the one thing that was on his mind, and he couldn't really enjoy the celebration. Back in Singapore, so last weekend I was in Singapore and I had to do a wedding. Pastor Sam was so confident that he would come to Singapore and do this wedding. So he left it until Friday afternoon to confirm with me that he won't be coming and that I would be doing the wedding on Saturday. And this is my second time doing a wedding. And weddings are always beautiful. They always move you. They always, you know, fill you with joy and warm feelings. Except when I'm doing the wedding, right? This is my second time, so I was still a little bit anxious, a little bit nervous. And this anxiety in me, just trying to make sure everything goes well, everything is smooth, and all these things, it kept me from truly just kind of enjoying what was going on and experiencing the joy of this ministry and the joy of this celebration. I mean, I hope one day that I'll be able to, you know, be officiating the wedding and also really enjoy what is going on. But I wasn't there yet this weekend. And anxiety also makes you a little bit, a little bit aggressive, a little bit stubborn, a little bit selfish. I can say the times that I'm least mindful of my wife is when I'm anxious about something. You know, when I have something coming up and I'm a little bit stressed out, a little bit anxious, I'm not thinking about other people. I'm not displaying a gentle spirit. I'm filled with just, I got to get done. I got to get my things done, and I want to make sure this works out. And we get a little bit aggressive, right? If we feel a little threatened. I remember I had to be in Russia for something. I was on my way to Romania, and I had a layover in Russia, and I had to spend one night there, and I was so anxious because Russia just wasn't a nice place back then, 2003, I think. I don't know what it's like now, but I had to get off the airplane and take a taxi to this hotel, and they took my passport at the hotel to check me in, and then they never gave it back. But I forgot about it because I was so all over the place. So the morning of, I forgot to get my passport. They didn't give it back when I checked out. And then I went to the airport and then I was like, where's my passport? Oh, it's crazy. But I was anxious and I was aggressive. I was like, yelling at the, not yelling because I was a little scared, but I was like trying to make sure everything was okay. I definitely wasn't displaying a gentle spirit to anybody. And it's interesting because right before Paul talks about, he says rejoice and be gentle and don't be anxious, right before he's talking to the church, especially these two sisters in the church who had been fighting, there's some sort of disagreement, some sort of argument, and he's pleading with them and saying, be of the same mind, you know? You are co-workers, and help these women because they are co-workers of the gospel. So I think anxiety and being anxious, not having that peace of God, it causes dissension, you know, even in the church. And I think it kind of links that. He's saying if you can really rejoice in the Lord and display this gentle spirit and not worry so much, then maybe this kind of fighting and dissension and division won't be so prevalent in the church. So he talks about that. And then basically, if we can continue, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Then he says, the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. And, you know, back when Paul was writing, the verses weren't divided the way it was divided now. So I kind of see the Lord is near linked to be anxious for nothing. You know, the Lord is near. The Lord is with you. Either the Lord is with you or the Lord is coming soon. The Lord is near. So don't worry so much. You know, you don't have to do everything on your own. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I mean, we know this verse. We've heard it many times. We've probably memorized it. It says, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I just want to focus on that. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I want to kind of highlight the importance of our mind. Oftentimes, we talk about the importance of the heart. And we know the heart is the seat of our emotions. And we know, you know, Jesus talks about the heart, that if you have a good heart, then whatever comes out, you know, it comes out of your heart. You know, so if you have a good heart and if you have peace in your heart, maybe your actions and your words that come out will also be of the peace of God. But also we have to remember that the heart and the emotions and the feelings are important, but also our mind, you know, our thoughts, being able to discern what is really going on and being rational in our thinking, that's also very important. That we can't just focus on the heart, having the peace of God in our heart, but also in our minds, we need the peace of God because our mind often we think that the heart, out of our heart, everything flows out, our actions and our words and everything. But I think even more often than our hearts, it's our minds. Whatever we think, however we think, you know, however, whatever kinds of thoughts that we're having in our heads, that really, our actions really come out of our mind. So Tim Keller talks about this. He says, even with God, God is a God of emotions, right? He has emotions, he has feelings, but he's also a God of rational thinking and he has a mind. And oftentimes the way God acts in this world, he acts out of his mind, not out of his emotions. Because we see that God gets angry, right? God gets angry in the Bible, he gets disappointed and He gets frustrated. And if God really just acted out of his heart, then basically we would all be destroyed. If he only acted out of his heart, out of his emotions, what he was feeling, then he would bring his wrath upon people because he feels those emotions. But even in those times when he feels these emotions of wrath and anger and frustration, his mind, he knows what we're made of, right? He there's all these passages. He knows what we're made of, and he knows I mean, he knows all that he's created us, you know, that he's got a future, and he sees beyond what our behavior is making him feel at the moment. So he kind of acts out of his mind, and he brings grace, and he brings mercy to people. I mean, it's like that for us too. Our mind can help us make better decisions. For example, like, I mean, it with parents, I've heard this illustration given. At 3 a.m., your child, newborn child, is waking up and he or she is crying and yelling for food or discomfort or whatever. Your heart is not going to be filled with emotions of joy and love, right? You're not going to be like, oh, I'm so glad that my child can't sleep and he wakes me up every night at 3 a.m. and I have to get up and hold the baby. I remember one of our brothers at church, he said when they had the kid started crying at night and he was so tired that he went up and picked up the kid and got the bottle and then he did this kind of like automated motion. And then when he woke up a little bit, he realized he was holding a pillow and got the bottle and did it, you know, because he was so tired, he didn't know what was going on. And so at that time, he's not thinking, oh, I love this kid so much, and he's filled with joy and emotions of love, and he's doing it out of heart. He's doing it out of his mind. He knows that he needs to do this because the kid needs food and the kids need sleep, and he needs to do this so that the kid will sleep so he can get some sleep. So he's moved by his mind, you know, when we are at the casino. I guess Mon's cousin was in town, and he's not a strong believer, and he went to Macau, and I think he only started off, I can't really remember the number, but I think he started off with 4,000 Hong Kong dollars. He said, this is the only, I'm not going to spend any more than this, and then he made 50,000, and he was going to walk out, but he saw something, and I was like, I'm just going to try it. And then in minutes, he lost all 50,000 that he had earned. But at the casino, we use our mind. If we were operating out of our heart, then people, I mean, a lot of people do, and they lose everything, right? But a lot of us also will operate out of our mind. Our heart might say, no, you are going to win, you're going to win, do it again. But our mind will say, this is stupid. I'm not going to continue with this. So oftentimes, it's not just our heart that controls and dictates how we're going to behave and how we're going to act. It's our mind. And we need to have a correct mind. You know, we need to make sure that our mind is, given over to God. That we're not just filling our mind with anxious thoughts. Thoughts that are maybe not true. If we truly believed in who God was and his love for us and his kindness and his being with us, then our mind won't be so filled with anxiety and confusion. I know that my personality, you know, we do our MBTI, right? And there's the introvert, extrovert, feeler, thinker, intuition, sensing. And I'm a total feeler. So I really need this. I've been observing myself a little bit lately, and I can totally see that I base a lot of my decisions based on how I feel. And there will be a situation, a ministry situation, or leadership situation, and oftentimes my decisions the way I feel about a situation is not based, I don't have a very rational mind. I don't sit back and I can't sit back and really assess the situation. I kind of base it on how I feel and it always, I don't know if it's always, but I feel like it often gets me in trouble. Like I often make a bad decision because I just base everything on how I feel. And then I'll talk to someone like Kenny, who I think is much more of a thinker than I am in this MBTI sense. And he will like put it in a perspective that I could never have done in my own. And then I'm like, that's so true. Like, I don't have to feel bad about this. Like, it you know, nothing's really going on. But often I would feel like, oh, something's wrong. And then I make decisions. So I really have to remember, I got to have a good mind. And I got to give my mind to the Lord. So I want to continue on. So he says, Peace of God will guard your hearts, not just your heart, but also your mind in Christ Jesus. And in verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. But he says, finally. And I was curious about that. If you read it as finally, then it sounds like he's kind of concluding everything that he's been talking about with this one verse, one sentence, finally. But I was researching a little bit, and this word finally could also be translated as furthermore or moreover. Because I feel like it's a continuation of thought. He's saying, don't be anxious about anything. In everything, let your requests be made known to God. Moreover, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, think about these things. Dwell your mind on these things. And I think that's kind of the antidote to being anxious and worrying. How do you stop from being anxious and worrying all the time is we dwell on the things that are true, right? If we can take captive our thoughts and our minds and then make sure that we're not dwelling on negative thoughts, you know, lies about maybe who God is, lies about who you are. Because oftentimes we feel like we're not good enough, or we won't measure up, or we won't succeed, or something negative will happen. But if we can control where our thoughts go and make sure that it's not dwelling on these negative things, but we're dwelling our mind on the things of God. So let's just read that. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The NIV will say, think about such things. Think about such things. I don't know if I can say that I know exactly what Paul's talking about when he's saying, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. I mean, is he talking about a specific thing, or is he just talking about in general? Think about these things. I'm not sure. My thought is that maybe he's talking about, when he says whatever is true, whatever is honorable, he's mentioning all these things. Maybe he's talking about the things that he's been teaching them. You know, his teachings that he's been giving them. Because he'll follow that up with the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things. So maybe he's thinking about all the things that he's been teaching them about who God is, about who they are in Christ and the hope that they have in Christ and the truth of God's love and all these things that he's been teaching them. He's saying, dwell on these things. Put your mind on these things and not on anything else, all the garbage, all the worry, all the anxious thoughts that come to your mind. There's a few more scripture that reminds us to control our thoughts and our minds. So let me just read that to you. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. So all these things that have been raised up against the knowledge of God, we're destroying them. So everything that kind of comes against who God is, the truth of who God is, and we have all these thoughts that come that are inaccurate, that we kind of portray and that we kind of hold on to, that's not true, but we kind of believe and we hold on to them about God. And it says, we're destroying every speculation, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And Paul says, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, we're taking them captive, making sure that they're obedient to Christ. And then in Colossians 3:1-2, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. So there's a few more verses that talk about our mind, kind of taking captive our mind, controlling our mind, making sure that our mind is set on the right things, not on whatever else, you know, that comes to our mind. So I want to encourage us with that. You know, we need to really give our minds to the Lord, and we need to ask Him to purify our mind, that He will help us to dwell on the things that are true. You know, the truth of His Word, the truth of His love, dwell on the things that are honorable, that are right, and that are pure. Romans 12:2 talks about the renewed mind, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For us to be able to live in this joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord and have this gentle spirit, to not be anxious so much, to not worry so much, we need to take our mind captive. You know, we can't let our mind just run wild and go to all these negative places and fill our mind with worry and thoughts that are not right, thoughts that are not true, because those things will... those thoughts will determine how we behave and how we what comes out of us. So let's pray for that. Jackie is going to come and lead us in a time of worship. So let me just pray for us, and then Jackie will lead us, and then we'll pray together. But God, I just want to pray for, you know, my mind and the mind of our church members here, God. Your word tells us to not be anxious about anything, but to let our requests be made known to you. But you also talk about, guarding our heart and our mind, guarding our thoughts, God, making sure that our mind is not dwelling on things that are negative, things that are not true, various fears and worries, but really thinking and dwelling upon things that are true, you know, dwelling upon you, dwelling upon your love and your goodness, God, and the hope that we have in you. So I pray, Holy Spirit, just this morning as we come before you, that you would help us, God, be renewed in our mind and bring peace to our mind. God, help us to focus and think about things that are true, you know, things that are of you. And give us this peace, God. Come. Thank you, Lord, for this time.
sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. And teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Amen. So let's just pray a little bit for ourselves. Just pray for our own mind. Pray for our own heart. Pray against anxiety. And let's pray that God would really give us a clear mind. That He ask Him to help you, you know, take captive every thought. Make sure that our thoughts are upon, you know, what is true and what is right and what is pure and what is honorable and what is good, and not on negative things. So let's pray for our mind a little bit, for ourselves. Let's pray together for our community. Let's lift up our friends and family members that are struggling with physical illness, cancer, going through chemotherapy or going through surgery recovery. Let's just pray for them. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray with faith. And let's pray with love and compassion for them. Let's pray together. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for our community that have illness but also need salvation. Let's pray for just their eyes to be opened and for them to experience God and for divine appointments where people can really share Christ with them and their hearts would be open. And let's also pray for healing for them. Let's pray together. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that our community is going through. Let's just pray for healing. Let's pray for strength and encouragement for them and for their family as they go through this difficult time. So let's pray for them together. Let's go to the fourth slide. Let's pray for our friends that have been looking for a job. Let's pray that God will provide for them. God will lead them to the right companies and for favor in their interviews. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for Saturday Mission Focus. Let's pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for Febe Ministry and Kupang. I believe there's an Indonesia team going in about a week or so. Pastor Salamat will be leading the team. So let's pray for favor on the team and anointing upon the team. Pray for Pastor Salamat and his family as they lead Febe Ministry. Let's also pray for Singapore. Let's pray for SP Singapore. Let's pray for the right leadership. Let's pray for a pastor for them. And let's pray for just for the leaders there now. They have a lot on their plates. Let's pray for God's strength and anointing and refreshing to come upon them. So let's pray for these two places. Let's pray for the education ministries at church, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU, our college ministry. Pray for Pastor Carol, myself, and Pastor Hyunsu. Let's pray for just God's guidance and anointing and leadership over these different ministries. Let's pray together. Let's pray for Alpha, our new discipleship class that's beginning soon. Let's pray for Ken Tan, and I know there's a pretty big team that's serving on the Alpha ministry. So let's pray for that. Let's pray that it'll be really powerful, and many seekers will be able to find Christ through this time. Let's pray together. Let's pray for SP 2.0. We were given a prophecy about a donor or maybe multiple donors that will be able to really give financially for the vision for our church. So let's just pray that God will lead us to the right building. Let's pray that our church will be in a healthy and a good place before we even make it there. You know, let's just pray that not just a physical building, but also what God is doing inside the church, that we will be ready for the expansion that God, you know, has in store for us. And let's pray for the donor, that just for God's provision to come. So let's pray together. Let's cover the weekend activities. Let's pray for the EMP Bible studies that's going on. Let's pray for Sunday service tomorrow. John Moon will be leading worship, so please pray for him and his team. Pray for Noah's Ark. Pray for the worship. Pray for hospitality team, the welcoming team, and the barista. Pray for the youth group meeting tomorrow. Pray for Yahweh. Yahweh will be meeting today, so let's pray for that. And all other meetings that's going on today, I think the men's group is meeting for prayer this morning. And let's just pray for anointing and really this presence of God and the Spirit of God to be over everything that we do. Pastor Eugene will be preaching, so please pray for him as he prepares the message. So let's pray for the weekend activities. And let's pray for our outreach ministry. I think there's prison outreach. So let's pray for that this weekend, that it'll be a powerful time. God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. And God, many of us here probably struggle with anxiety and worry. So Lord, we want to lay down our minds to you, God. I pray that we will not be anxious about anything, but Lord, that we'll be able to let our requests be made known to you with thanksgiving in our hearts, God. And I pray that your peace that transcends comprehension, God, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And help us, God, to take every thought captive, that we will not just let our minds run wild with worrisome thoughts, God, and negative thoughts, but Lord, that we will bring it back to your truth, God, that you love us, God, that you are with us, that you are near to us, and that you hold our future, God, that you hold, you are sovereign, Lord, and you are good and you are for us and not against us, Lord. And I pray, God, that we will enjoy this peace in our hearts so that we may rejoice in our ministry, in our life, in what you've given us to do in our work, and that we would be gentle, God, to each other and to the world as we go out there. So God, help us, Lord. We need you. We thank you so much for this morning. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.